Well, praise God. Is there anybody that is here for the first time tonight? Welcome, welcome. It's nice to have you with us. The last couple of weeks, I've been talking to you about, let's just call it spiritual warfare. I know a lot of people would rather not know these things. But then you're a little bit like the ostrich. You know, he likes to put his head down the hole so that he can't see. And he doesn't realize that in the process he leaves his backside exposed. Some of us, we like that. See no evil, hear no evil, talk no evil. But evil still exists whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And we have to deal with it. Whose problem is the devil? Okay, let me get you to understand something. Yeah, the devil is not God's problem. God doesn't have headaches because of the devil, you and I do. The devil doesn't give God a hard time. He can't get there to give him that hard time. He gives you and I a hard time. And it's not God that is called in the Bible to deal with the works of darkness. It is you and I. The Bible says in the book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, we have to be very careful, yeah, because it doesn't say my people are destroyed for a lack of prayer. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. They can pray up a storm. But you also got to pray right. I'll give you an example. The Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 26 says, I run therefore like a man not running aimlessly. And when I hit like a man not beating about in the air. He says there's times when I have to run the race and I have to know where I'm going. You need vision. You need to know where you are going, right? And then he says, and when I hit like a man. Was he hitting Timothy? No. Was he hitting Peter? No. Was he hitting any of the other disciples? No. Was he trying to beat the gospel into the Jews? No. So who was he hitting? What was he trying to convey to us when he says, I hit like a man not beating about in the air? He was saying there's times when the devil pushes, you gotta push back. When the devil hits, you gotta hit back. And he says, when you hit back, make sure you hit the target. Now, that's where prayer sometimes comes in. How many of you know the devil is busy? I have a feeling he was busier tonight because we just had drama with the videos, but we just put the devil under our feet in Jesus' name. The devil is busy, all right? He doesn't give nobody a break. He's always got some plan cooking somewhere to cause you misery, to cause you frustration, to get you to be angry, to get you to doubt, to be confused, etc., etc. The devil is always busy. Now, you know what? When we pray, we can actually use a weapon that God has placed at our disposal and we can level that weapon against him. But then we got to identify the target. You know, when you go to a shooting range, has anybody ever fired an automatic weapon? Yeah. Okay, a couple of people that was in the army. What happened the first time you fired the automatic weapon? Clack, 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 clack. Right? Because the recoil keeps pushing it up. And you cannot hit the target. And then you realize you can't just, you know, like when, who grew up with the A-team? All right, you know what, those guys, I tell you what, they were like phenomenal. They could just hit everything. It was just clack, 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 clack. And everything was just exploding and blowing up. They never hit a person, though. You know, that was always mind-blowing. There would be like 300 rounds in 20 seconds, and all the places blew up and nobody died. That was the good old 80s, where they were not allowed to show blood and guts on the TV, you know. But the fact of the matter is, when you shoot, you can't shoot like that. You got to aim and shoot. It's exactly the same when we deal with the works of darkness. You know, you can't, some people have this calling all pockets thing. Lord, I pray against all the problems I have and all the this and all the that. Sometimes you got to be specific. I've been involved in deliverance for many, many years. One thing I've learned, if you can identify the demon, you can conquer him a lot quicker. Many times when a demon manifests, we will say to him, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus to tell me who you are. And they don't generally want to tell you who they are, because here's the thing. What is in darkness has power. What has been exposed in the light loses its power. So when he gives you his name, he's immediately lost his power. Therefore, if you can identify what you are dealing with and you start praying against that, there is suddenly a lot more power. Okay. I want to show you a couple of things. I think I want to show you just exactly what Jesus commanded the average disciple to do. Is there anybody here tonight that reckons that they might just be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not raising your hand, okay, there we go. I was going to say, then I can't let you leave without prayer, you know. Okay. We are all disciples of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here tonight, because you want to learn. You want to learn more through discipleship, and tonight the Word of God is going to teach you and equip you. Now, let's just look at what Jesus commanded the disciples to do. The first place I'm going to go to is the book of Matthew chapter 10. He says here, he called these 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. Now, what you have to understand, in the book of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is for the first time saying to the disciples, guys, you've been following me for quite a while. You've seen a lot of things, you've learned a lot of things, you've asked a bunch of questions, I've taught you many things. It's time for you to go out and practice what I preach. It's time for you to do it yourself. But before you go, here's a very important thing for you to know. When you go out there on your own to spread the gospel of good news, you are going to encounter opposition. And when you encounter that opposition, do not be afraid, because I am giving you the authority over evil spirits. This is what he says. Listen to this. He called these 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. Jesus expected the disciples, when they went out in the process of preaching the gospel, to encounter satanic opposition. And he said to them, when you encounter that opposition, do not be afraid, do not turn around, do not run, stand and fight. Now, here's a question. If the early disciples, in the process of preaching the gospel, sharing the good news with people, encountered opposition, what makes us think that today we're not going to encounter the same thing? I mean, has anything changed? You know, we're not living in the 1,000 years of peace. The devil has not been bound up. He's still the roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. He still doesn't like the gospel. He still doesn't want people to be set free. He still wants to cause as much problems as possible. So we have the same mandate. If you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand that you have been commissioned in the same way that the early disciples have been commissioned to cast out evil spirits. Let's look at the rest. He called these 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. Now, that is the good news. You got demons, Jesus can cast them out. You got sickness, Jesus can heal it. But then he goes on, he says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. I'm going to skip that. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel, and as you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. Something very important that I want to show you. You know, there's a lot of people that have this attitude that, oh, you know what, because we're Christians, because we're children of God, the devil can't come near us, the devil can't touch us. I want to show you something very interesting. When Jesus sent them out with this mandate, go out and cast out demons, he said to them, don't go to the Gentiles. What was a Gentile back then? It was an unbeliever. He said to them, go cast out demons, but don't go to the unbelievers. And then you had unbelievers, and then you had Samaritans. Samaritans was like 10 steps below an unbeliever. That was like the worst of the worst in the eyes of the Jews. But Jesus says to them, now, yes, Here's how the average Christian thinks today. Because I'm a believer, I don't have demonic problems. But the unbelievers, they have demonic problems. The prostitutes, the pedophiles, the crime lords, you know, all of those, they have big problems. But me, I don't have problems. Well, that's not biblical. Because when Jesus sent out those anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God, he said to them, do not go to the unbelievers. Go to the believers. Now, how does that work? I mean, that freaks us out a little bit when we think about it. We believers, we should be protected. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says that. What is in the Bible is that if you have demonic problems, there is hope for you. You can be delivered and you can be set free. You want to understand how this works? I'll make it simple for you. Whatever you cast out today will try and come back tomorrow. An unbeliever can't keep it out. Only a believer can keep it out. An unbeliever, the door is always open. A believer can shut the door because of the Holy Spirit in your life. Deliverance is not for unbelievers because it will not help them. Deliverance makes unbelievers' problems worse. Because Jesus says when an evil spirit goes out of a man and he's allowed to come back, he will come back 7 times stronger. There are some Satanists that like to go for things like deliverance simply so that they can have more power when the demons come back. Therefore, it is futile to try and help somebody like that. You can only help somebody if they commit their life to Christ and are willing to walk the road with God. There is hope for every believer. But then we must also understand that as believers, God is of the opinion that some of us can have demonic problems. In fact, I believe all of us has some demonic problems. Can I tell you where one of the biggest problems came? When the King James Version was translated, which for many years was the standard that was used to preach from, it was the translation that most people and most Bible scholars used, there was a, let's call it, incorrectly translated word that is assigned to, if you could call it that, deliverance. And that is the word possession. And we have to talk about that because it's very important for us to understand. In the King James Version, the Bible kind of like hints at the fact that this one was possessed and that one was possessed and that one was possessed. The Greek word translated there is the word daimonizomai, which if you translate it should not be translated as possessed. It should be translated as under the influence of an evil spirit. Because if you think about it, if I am a child of God, I cannot be possessed by the devil because I cannot be possessed by two things. Possession implies ownership. I cannot be owned by God and owned by Satan at the same time. Only one owner can exist. But I can be owned by God and still be under satanic influence in certain areas of my life. And therefore, I need to be delivered from the satanic power over that area of my life. I can be a spirit-filled child of God. I can be a faith-based believer, and I can still battle with certain areas where Satan has power. I can battle with my temper. Many Christians battle with their temper. And no matter how many times you pray for them, the temper is still there because that temper might not be the flesh. It could possibly be a demon. There are many believers that battle with fear. The Bible says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, if God did not give you a spirit of fear, where is the spirit of fear coming from? Well, you picked it up somewhere along the line. It could have come through some traumatic experience in your life. It could have come through some movie that you watched. It could have come through birth. I'll give you a scenario. Let's say, back in the day when I was born, there was not as many advances in the medical field as there is right now. And a lot of the times there was complications with childbirth. And when those complications arose, they did not deal with it as easily as they do today. Today they got all sorts of ways and means to make things better. They can actually pick it up even before the time, and they can make a plan when you go into labor. Now, back in the day, here's this, a lady is going into labor. The child is a bridge child or something to that effect. Extreme pain for the mother, extreme trauma for the mother, extreme trauma for the child. The mother has got this fear that she's going to lose the child. The fear that grips the mother is transferred to the child. The child is born with a spirit of fear, even though the child did not ask for that spirit of fear. Due to the circumstances of the birth, the spirit of fear attaches itself to the child. If you think that that's not fair, you are right. It's not fair, but the Bible never said the devil plays fair. We are warned. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That's not fair, is it? Well, you see, now you get the picture. The reason why we sometimes have a lot of problems in our life is because the devil doesn't play fair, but all is not lost. God has made a way for us to deal with this when we understand how it works. And therefore we need to be taught. Therefore we need to come to a place that we understand how these things work so that we can apply the word of God correctly. You know, John 8 verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I find it amazing how many Christians refuse to hear the truth when it comes to certain things. I was preaching in a church once, very, very big church. I spoke about the Holy Spirit. This had nothing to do with demons. This was simply talking about the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how the anointing works. I'll never forget when I was finished, a gentleman jumps up and he says to me, "I'm sorry, but what you just said is rubbish." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "No, it doesn't work like that." I said, "Where do you get that from?" "No, well, I know that it doesn't work like that." I said, "I want to stop you right there, and let's just quickly look at the obvious here. I just read to you from the Bible. That's what the Bible says." He says, "I don't care. That's not how it works." I said to him, "Sir, this discussion is over. I am not going to argue with you if you will not even accept basic fact from the Bible." Here's the thing. Some people do not want to accept the truth, even if it's staring them blatantly in the face. If you cannot accept the truth, you also cannot be set free. Now, there's a lot of things pertaining to your life. There's a lot of things pertaining to certain circumstances that you've gone through that the Bible might have something to say about that you might not like. But it's not a popularity contest, yeah. I'm not trying to gain your favor. I'm trying to teach you the word of God. Why? Because it's only when you apply the truth of the word that you can be set free. And therefore, we have to call a spade a spade. Sometimes people have to hear the truth, even though they don't necessarily like it. Now, here's the thing. Here is a truth that people often fight about. Christians can have demons. I want to tell you, Christians can have whatever they're comfortable allowing in their life. A lot of Christians have a lot of issues and a lot of problems that they don't see as a problem, but the Bible says it is. Well, you're already deceived. You know, when people come to me and they want to fight about this, I don't have to fight. I've walked this road for 20 years. I've seen how this stuff works. And I also can see when somebody is teachable and when somebody is not teachable. The best thing you can be if you truly want to make something of your life is have a teachable spirit. And you know what? Then they want to come and they want to argue, but they don't even know the Bible. It's like, God will never allow that. Okay, but I just showed you what the Bible says. No, God will never allow that. You can't give me scripture to back up your belief, but you want me to accept what you say. I'm sorry. But you see, I can give you plenty of scriptures to back up what I'm teaching you. And therefore, you have to open your ears and you have to listen and you have to apply the word of God to whatever area of your life God wants to touch. Okay, so the 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach this message. What are we supposed to preach? This is the message. Listen carefully. We're supposed to preach the following. The kingdom of heaven is near. On top of that message, we are supposed to heal the sick. We are supposed to raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. Freely we have received, freely we must give. You want to know the full gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the full gospel. The full gospel of Jesus Christ is not a feel-good sermon. It's truth. It's something that causes you to deal with the problems, the issues in your life. Whether it be sickness, whether it be infirmity, whether it be a curse, whether it be this, that, whatever. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach it. Do it. Amen? Don't just tell people about stuff. Pray for them. Lay hands on them. Help them to deal with their problem. When Jesus walked the earth, that's what he did. You can't show me one place where Jesus just preached a nice sermon, told everybody, enjoy the cook and tear, and went home. It's not in the Bible. But what you do find in the Bible is whether Jesus preached on the mountain, or he preached on the seashore, or he preached by the lake, or he preached in the synagogue, he ministered to the needs of the people. The power of God was released, and there was change. Not everybody liked the change. In fact, some people were very disgusted by the things that happened. It didn't matter. It's not your kingdom that must come. It's God's kingdom that must come. And that means God's will must be done. Let me ask you a question. Today, let's say we have 80 people here. If of this 80 people, 80% of them have demonic problems, and we serve a loving Father, do you think he's impressed? Do you think he likes the fact that we are in bondage to certain things? Some demon is abusing certain rights and privileges that he shouldn't have in our life. Do you think God likes that? No, I don't think so. I think a loving Father, if I'm a father and my son comes in and he says, Dad, two bullies just clopped me silly outside in the street, what am I going to do? I'm going to move out there and I'm going to clap back. Finish law. Because I don't want my children to be abused. Well, I want to tell you something. Your heavenly Father doesn't want you to be abused. And a lot of people are abused by demons and evil spirits. One of the things that demons do, they enslave people. I want you to listen carefully. Evil spirits enslave people. Some of you sitting here, you are a slave to your temper. You want to stop, but you can't. Then you're a slave. Some of you, you are a slave to certain substance abuse, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it pornography, be it eating habits, be it Coca-Cola. You are enslaved. You are a slave when something controls you. And you have to think a little bit about your own life. What is controlling you? Whatever is controlling you is demonic in its origin, because Satan's sole purpose is to control. What is the nature of witchcraft? Let's ask an obvious question. What is the nature of witchcraft? No, the manifestation thereof is destruction, but the nature thereof is to control. Why do people do witchcraft on other people? Because we want to control a certain area or the person in totality. Some people do witchcraft because they want more money from the boss. What are they trying to do? They're trying to control the boss's money. Okay? Some people do witchcraft to a opposite member of a member of the opposite sex because they want them to fall in love with them, so they are trying to control them in that area. Some people see other people as a threat, so they do witchcraft for them to have misfortune or problems, but what they're simply trying to do is to control the person in that area so that they can get the upper hand. Why is the nature of witchcraft to control? Because the nature of Satan, who is behind all witchcraft, is to control. That's how it works. So any person that has demonic influence in a certain area will find that that area of their life is under satanic control. Now, if I have an apple, and there is a worm in the apple, Is the whole apple rotten? Or is just the area where the worm is rotten? Well, you see, that's how you should look at it from a Christian point of view when somebody has a demonic entity working in their life. You don't have to throw away the whole apple. You have to dig out the worm and throw it out. We are exactly the same. When there is a demonic problem in your life, it doesn't mean that you are possessed by the devil. It means that that area needs to be sorted out. And God wants to help us to deal with and sort out those areas in our life. So here's the first place where we see Jesus commanding disciples to go out. And lo and behold, every disciple is commanded when, as we go out, to be aware that the enemy is real, that we could possibly face opposition, and when the opposition comes, we are not to back off, we are not to run away, we must stand and fight. Because God will give us victory. Amen? And the second thing that is important for us to know, it's not just about getting opposition, it is that a lot of the people out there, the problems that they have are actually demonic. Amen? A lot of people that are diagnosed with mental problems actually have demons giving them a hard time manifesting as mental problems. A lot of people that have certain habits that enslave them, who could be diagnosed as who knows what in the medical fraternity, actually simply has demonic entities working in their life, and therefore they need to be delivered. In the trade, there is a saying, the right tool for the right job. If somebody has a demonic power working in their life, I want to tell you something, my friend, you can take as many pills as you want. The pills can't take away the spiritual problem. The spiritual problem will stay. The pills will affect your body, but it will not deal with the problem, be it mental, be it something in your body. The root has to be pulled out. The root is the spirit. Okay, that's Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. A second place where Jesus sends out disciples to go and minister the word of God in his name. Luke chapter 9, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure all diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is Luke's version of the same account, and we see exactly the same thing. They've just been called. Jesus says to them, I'm sending you out. Go and preach the gospel. And this is what you have to do. Cast out demons, heal the sick. Amazing, isn't it? Now look at what happened when they came back. Luke chapter 10. Verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and on scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Okay. In Luke chapter 9, they get sent out to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once again, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is good news. It is accompanied by the sick being healed and the oppressed being delivered. Okay. So yeah, the disciples have now gone out on their own. And in Luke chapter 10, we see they come back. What's the first thing that they talk to Jesus about? Jesus, you are right. As we went out and we prayed for people, demons manifested. Demons began to manifest. And guess what? When we commanded them in your name to come out, the things listened to us and they left and the people were healed. What made the biggest impact on them when they went out? The first thing they spoke about when they came back. Everywhere we went, we encountered demons. And every time we prayed against them, in your name, they had to submit and go. Can I tell you why we have so many problems today? Because disciples don't do what they're called to do anymore. With all due respect, we want to go and sit in a church that is there for, we want the type of churches. Okay, it might not be you. Let's not generalize. But there's a lot of believers out there that they want to go to church from 9 to 10. They don't want complicated stuff. The preaching must be in that time. The worship must be in that time. The offering must be taken up in that time. The closing argument must be in that time. And I want to be on my way home before 10 minutes past. And I don't want to get involved in anybody else's life. What I believe is private. No, it's not private. What did he command? What did Jesus command the disciples to do? Go out. Help people out there. Help them deal with their issues. We were never called to talk and talk and talk. I shared with you a scripture last week. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a demonstration of power. I want to tell you something. There is no demonstration of power when you talk. The demonstration of power comes when you do. How many people do today? Not many. And because disciples are not doing what Jesus called them to do, nobody's issues get dealt with. And from one generation to the next generation, the devil gets more power, more power, more power, because nobody ever deals with it. And it snowballs. You want to know why we live in a world that is in the state that it's in? Because for many generations, nobody has actually done what the Word of God commands them to do. And when you do it, people think you're mad. They have this attitude like, oh, you can't be praying like that for Christians. They can't have demonic problems. No, the Bible says they do. And nobody is dealing with it. And that's why the world is in the state that it's in. So what are we supposed to do? Well, from your perspective and my perspective, number one, we must come to a place that we accept the validity of God's word, that we accept the truth revealed by God's word, and that we apply that truth correctly in our life. And this is what the Bible says, the devil is real, whether you like it or not. He's not a figment of somebody's imagination. Something very real resisted Jesus for 40 days in the desert. Something very real plotted and schemed against him when he walked the earth. Jesus encountered this thing everywhere he went. I'm going to show you again. I'm going to come back to the last one now. Let me just show you again. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1 verse 21. This is Jesus coming out of the desert. He's just been in the desert for 40 days. He's been fasting. The devil has been tormenting him and he's conquered the devil. Now he comes into the first synagogue that the first town that he walks into after coming from the desert is a town called Capernaum. And he walks into the first synagogue that he sees. This is what happens. They went into Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. And just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "and come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." And the news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Now, Jesus just came out of the desert, just conquered Satan. The moment he begins to preach, an evil spirit manifests. Why? Because when Jesus conquered Satan, Jesus took the authority of Satan. Now when he spoke with authority. He spoke with power. Let me ask you a question. If there is a war between let's say America and where? Okay, North Korea. Actually, I don't know who's in charge there, so let me rather just use Russia. Let's say there's a war between America and Russia. And Russia comes and surrenders. And I believe Putin is in charge there, am I right? Okay, and Putin comes and he says, I submit. Does he submit as an individual or does he submit on behalf of his country? He submits on behalf of his country. If there is a fight between Jesus representing the kingdom of God and Satan representing the kingdom of darkness and Satan is conquered, who is conquered? The individual or the kingdom? Because he represents the kingdom. The moment Jesus conquered Satan, he had authority over everything under him. How can we see that that happened? Because the moment Jesus walked into a synagogue and began to preach, demons began to manifest. Why? Because if Jesus conquered the top man, he also conquered everything underneath him. And they felt the pressure. Okay, now, Jesus preaches, demon begins to manifest, freaks out, Jesus casts out the demon. The people are sitting there, their jaws drop, they're like, oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like this. This is phenomenal. Wow. They can't wait. Whoever wasn't in the synagogue that day, 20 minutes after the church ended, they all heard the news because everybody was running to tell their chommy and their friend and their uncle and their auntie and their opa and their oma. Everybody was talking about what happened in church that day. In fact, the Bible says, if you look at this, verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Now remember, possessed there should be under the oppression of. It's a better way to look at it. The whole town gathered at the door. Did you hear that? The whole town gathered at the door. In one day, the whole town came to the door because of what happened that morning in the church. That's how people spoke. Now, the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons. It wasn't just that one oak in that little town that had demonic problems. Apparently, most of the town had demonic problems. And when Jesus prayed for these people, the demons came out. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, that depends on your upbringing. Because religious people are very upset when demons get cast out in the church. It's like, oh, this is nonsense. I cannot stand for this. God will never allow this. Well, he just did it. Hello? It's a good thing. Because Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. That's why he came. And then, look at this. Verse 39. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can also preach there. Now, what happens when Jesus preaches? What is the gospel of the kingdom? You preach the word, you pray for people, the sick get healed, the demons leave. Okay. Jesus said he wants to go and preach. Look at what happened. Jesus replied, let us go to somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Why did he come? To preach. What happens when you preach? The sick get healed, the demons come out. And look at this. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Wow. Jesus did not encounter one demon in one synagogue. He encountered gazillions of demons everywhere he went. Why? Because that's how the devil works. By the time you are 20 years old, you got a whole bunch of rubbish in your life because you have been lied to, you have been hurt, you have been abused, you have been traumatized, you've been disappointed, you have messed up, you have caused problems, you have lied, you have connived, and you know what? You've opened a lot of doors for the devil. And now you sit with problems. You can go and talk to your shrink about the problems, but I want to tell you something. Whatever he gives you is not going to affect the demons one little bit. It'll affect your body. It'll affect your mind, but the roots are still going to sit there. And somebody has to pull them out. I can't do it, but I know somebody who can. Do you know his name? His name is Jesus. And what he did back then, he still does today. The question is, are we still willing to do what he commanded us to do? Because you see, it looks to me like most people just couldn't be bothered. We want a nice sermon and we want to go home. Don't complicate things and don't make me late for my cook and tea or my supper with the in-laws or whatever. Just remember, Sunday is God's day. Hello? It is. You know, we've kind of like hijacked that and now we call it family day. But it's actually God's day. And whether you're in church for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, it's still God's day. We should honor it as God's day. We should respect it as our time with God. Do you want to know why most people can't get healed? They're too impatient. Hey, this better get over now because he's working on my nerves. I want to leave. I want to get out of here. The people that wanted to be healed when Jesus walked the earth had to hang around and wait for their turn. But can I tell you, they lived in a better society because they were simpler people. You know, there was a time twice when Jesus felt sorry for the people because for 3 days and three nights they hadn't eaten. Do you know why? Because they kept sitting and listening and watching what Jesus was doing. You cannot do that in this society because nobody's bothered to sit for 3 days and see the power of God at work because Seven Delon is starting in 10 minutes. It's like, better hurry up now. Binnenlanders gaan begin. It's like, oh. Okay, what do you Oaks watch? What? Oh, the turkey is getting dry. Yeah, the turkey is getting dry. Yeah. I sometimes, this is just me. You don't have to see things the way I do. This is how I look at life. I find it very sad that we've become a society that we've got God on the clock. He better hurry up now. This is taking too long. This is nonsense. Man, back in the day, that's how you should live your life. Nothing is more important than being where God is. I'm sorry, nothing. Do you know who the people are that receive the most from God? The people that give God their time. The people that don't rush Him. That don't put demands on Him. Because they understand it's His kingdom that must come. It's His will that must be done. Let me teach you something. You hurry the Holy Spirit, you lose the anointing. The anointing moves. Nothing will happen. You wait on God. The anointing grows. Becomes stronger. And the power is released. And that's what's needed. Unfortunately, people today are extremely impatient. They want it now. And if you've prayed for them once and nothing has happened, it's like, you must be a false prophet. Are we going to go this way? Well, you know what? God heals as He wants. And it's not about me. It's about Him. And sometimes He wants to check your heart. Sometimes He wants to see whether your heart is really in this or not. You say you want to follow me. Let's see. Oh, no. Actually, you don't. You're just hopping from place to place to place. You want it now. You know, I used to, back in the day, I was an appy. And the guy under who I had to learn, he had this thing. He used to shout, I want it and I want it now. And I see that's how society has become. We want it and we want it now. And if we don't get it now, we're going to go somewhere else. Well, you're going to keep running around because it's not up to the church. It's not up to the person. It's up to God. And sometimes it's got to do with your heart. Let's look at the last scripture here quick. Last place where Jesus sent out disciples. We're going to go and look at the book of Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 15. Then Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. I want you to look at me quickly. How many of you here would say you believe? Okay, keep your hand up and listen here quickly. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. I don't think he meant doom when he said that. It's just state the obvious. And they will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. What did Jesus want must happen in the life of every believer? He wants us to have authority over the works of darkness. He wants us to understand that we should pray for one another when we are sick. That is the biblical mandate for every believer, for every child of God. The problem today is it does not happen. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. Because we have the word, but we don't apply the word. And the devil loves it. I have seen many times. I am an evangelist and I have preached by the grace of God. I have preached in probably 80 to 90% of the churches in this country. Denomination-wise or congregation-wise. I have preached in the AFM, I have preached in the Baptist, I have preached in the Methodist, I have preached in the Catholic, I have preached in the, what's the other ones that's a bit like the Catholic? No. The Anglican. I have preached in the NG, I have preached in the PPK, you name it, I've preached there. But one thing I've seen, most churches are not happy when the wind begins to blow. Who's the wind? The wind is the Holy Spirit. The moment those things begin to happen, that happen when the Holy Spirit moves, you can see the eyebrows. Oh, we don't like this. I want to say to you again, my friend, we're not building our kingdom here. God's building His. What God wants is people that are willing to submit to Him, to His will, and allow Him to work. And that's when we're going to see the power of God. That's when we're going to experience the kingdom of God. To sum up, probably what I want you to understand tonight is that we all have problems. And a lot of us have demonic issues. There's hope. Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the deliverer. You probably have to come to a place where you understand and you accept that you've got these things and you begin to call a spade a spade. When, like the Apostle Paul, you're going to come to the place that you are no longer going to beat about in the air, but you're going to see the target, you're going to hit the target. And you're going to say, this is no longer part of my life. We are quite blessed at these meetings. I'm going to tell you why. When you go to a church where people have never been exposed to this stuff and you want to pray for them about this stuff, nobody has problems. Everybody's like, oh, my life is perfect. And that's pride. Because we don't want to show the person next to us that we might have a problem. Because these meetings are a little bit different, and there's a lot of people that have come many times and they've lost those inhibitions, it's actually easier for a visitor to come and stand in the front and say, pray for me, I've got this and this and this. But you go to a congregation that's never experienced this stuff before and you say, let's pray, suddenly nobody has issues. I've been to many churches where the pastor tells me, if you want to pray for people, go pray for them in the prayer room. Why? Apparently funny things are not allowed to happen in front of certain people because they might stop tithing. Or they might decide they don't want to be in this church anymore, we're leaving now. Jesus did it in the street. Jesus did it in the synagogue. Jesus did it by the seashore. He didn't care. That's the right way to do it. Amen. Amen. Well, did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand.